Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klapones, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rocks. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on The Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. John, I think you have yourself muted. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Amen and amen. So friends, there is no saint of the day today, because we're going to talk about today being Spy Wednesday. Why do we call it Spy Wednesday? Well, the short and easy answer, or we used to call it Spy Wednesday, and being a traditional Catholic, I'm going back to some of the traditional ways. Today is Spy Wednesday because today is the day that Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and scribes and the elders and made arrangements to turn Jesus over to the chief priests and elders. And so I went on the web this morning and I found a very interesting page that I copied in its entirety, and this comes from Catholic.com, and it's from their online edition of the Catholic, the Catholic.com magazine, Catholic Company magazine, and it goes into the spy mission of Judas Iscariot, and I copied and pasted the link and put it at the bottom of the page on the blog. So Judas Iscariot's betrayal of Jesus is perplexing in several ways, and Christian thinkers have sought to make sense of it. The largest question is, why did Judas perform the betrayal? What was his motive? The Gospels give us some clues. One is that Satan was working on Judas, as in Luke 22, verse 3, and John chapter 13, verses 2 and 27. However, this explains the action from a superhuman point of view and does not address why, on a human level, Judas would choose to betray Jesus. A possible human motive may have been greed. John indicates that Judas was greedy and had previously committed theft to obtain money. John chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, and Matthew portrays Judas as telling the chief priests, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Mark and Luke also mention a commitment to pay Judas. Mark chapter 14, verse 11, Luke 22, verse 5. This suggests at least that Judas wanted to be compensated for the deed, but it doesn't mean it was his primary motive. Why would someone who had followed Jesus for 3 years suddenly decide to betray his master? Is the opportunity for some quick cash really a sufficient motive? Many have thought that it is not, and they have proposed additional reasons. One is the idea that Judas was actually trying to help Jesus fulfill his messianic destiny by bringing him into contact with the Jewish authorities. This would tend to rehabilitate Judas, as he thought he was doing a good thing. In favor of such a view, Judas could be seen as not aware of the fact that he's betraying Judas, for when Judas predicts at the Last Supper, when Jesus predicts at the Last Supper that one of the 12 will betray him, Judas, along with the others, asks, "Is it I, Master?" as in Matthew chapter 26, verse 25, and also chapter 26, verse 22. Also, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind about doing this and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And that's Matthew 27, verses 3 to 4. So maybe Judas just meant to put Jesus in contact with the chief priests and didn't realize they would condemn him. Against this view is the fact that Judas had given them a sign, saying, "The one I shall kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away safely," as in Mark chapter 14, verse 44. The uses of a covert sign, as opposed to making a simple introduction, and the instruction to seize Jesus indicate consciousness of betrayal. However, another messianic motive is possible. No doubt Jesus, like the Judas, like the other disciples, expected Jesus to be a political messiah who would kick out the Romans and restore national sovereignty to Israel. You see that in John chapter 6, verse 15, and 11, 48 to 50, and Acts chapter 1, verse 6. However, Jesus did not intend to be this type of Messiah. Perhaps Judas disagreed, and by forcing him into a confrontation with the chief priests, Judas was hoping to force him back into what he regarded as the proper path for the Messiah, only to see Jesus condemned instead. Another possible motive is anger and resentment. It is clear from various passages in the New Testament that some of the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, were closer to Jesus than others, and Judas is always listed last among the 12. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 19, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Perhaps Judas's lower status had come to grate on him after 3 years, and under the influence of satanically inspired envy and resentment, he decided to prove that he was a person of importance after all. What we can say with confidence is that on the superhuman level, Satan was involved, and on the human level, greed was involved. But beyond that, all we can do is speculate, and my speculation would be that Judas, and this is personally, this is not from any scholar or from Catholic.com or anybody else, but Judas had followed Jesus for 3 years and felt like it was going nowhere, and was angry and wanted to do something about it. Again, that's just my opinion, and I reserve the right to be wrong. So long as you give me the right to be wrong, I'll give you the right to be wrong. But if you take away my right to be wrong, I'm going to expect you to be 100% right all of the time. So anyway, whatever Judas's exact motive, a careful reading of the Gospels reveals that the betrayal involved an intricate, time-sensitive plan. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be a tumult of the people." And that comes from Mark chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Given the Jewish way of reckoning time and that Passover began at sundown on Thursday, 2 days before the Passover points to sometime during the daytime on Wednesday and Thursday. Beginning Friday morning, the Feast of Unleavened Bread would be in full swing, and Jesus could be expected to be with the crowds during the daytime in the week-long festival. It was apparently on this Wednesday that Judas went to the chief priests and agreed to betray him. So he sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude, Luke 22, verse 6. Since Judas was now serving as their spy, the Wednesday of Holy Week is often called Spy Wednesday. Jesus being away from the crowds was important. Jesus noted that they could have arrested him any day they wanted, as he taught in the temple, Matthew 26, verse 55, Mark 14, verse 49, Luke 22, verse 53. By waiting until he was in a private setting, they could avoid the people rioting. Judas did not find an opportunity to betray Jesus Wednesday night or Thursday during the daytime when Jesus was with the crowds. The next opportunity would be when Jesus was alone with the disciples on Thursday night at the Passover meal, which would be in private. However, there was a new complication. Jesus kept the location of the Passover meal secret until the last moment, forcing the disciples to ask, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And that's Mark chapter 14, verse 16. Instead of simply telling them the location, Jesus sent two of the disciples. Luke reveals that it was Peter and John in chapter 22, verse 8, to look for a man carrying a water jar, usually because carrying water was normally women's work. They were then to follow this man to a house, and there the householder would have a room prepared for them to eat the Passover meal. And that's Mark chapter 14, verses 13 to 15. The apparent purpose of this subterfuge was to keep the 12, including Judas, from knowing the location of the meal until the last moment. That way, Judas could not bring the authorities there to arrest Jesus, for he greatly desired to eat this Passover with his disciples, and that's Luke chapter 2, verse 15. At the Last Supper, Jesus announced that one of the 12 would betray him, prompting the disciples to ask who it would be. Jesus indicated that it would be someone who dipped food in the same dish as him, but which would make it obvious to anyone who was in the know that Judas would be the betrayer. But John's gospel indicates that this was a rather restricted audience. It may have only been Peter and the beloved disciple who knew. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table in front of Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of food, of bread, when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he could give something to the poor. John chapter 13, verses 23 to 29, since giving to the poor was a custom on the first night of Passover. By this point, Judas had learned what he needed to know to betray Jesus, for he had learned the plans for the remainder of the evening. Jesus went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples, as in John chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Jesus thus brought a band of soldiers and officers from the Jewish authorities to arrest him. It was at this point that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Why bother with this if Jesus was so well known? Even though Jesus was a public figure, the guards might not know him by sight. Also, it was dark, and they would be viewing the scene in the garden by torchlight. Even Judas himself might not recognize Jesus until getting up close to him. By arranging the kiss, Judas apparently wanted a degree of protection. If he suddenly yelled, "This is Jesus, grab him," that would make it obvious to everyone that Judas had betrayed him. A melee might ensue, and Judas might be injured or killed by one of the other disciples. But by coming up and giving the ordinary greeting gesture of a kiss, Judas would make the act of betrayal non-obvious. From Judas's perspective, he might get away scot-free with nobody realizing what he had done. However, Jesus knew what Judas was up to. Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And that's Luke chapter 22, verse 48. From Jesus' perspective, as tragic as it was, everything was proceeding according to plan. So we've got just a few minutes left, actually about 13, and we're going to do the daily update really quickly. So let's see. Terry was going to do a show tomorrow, which is Holy Thursday, and then he realized that the Mass of the Lord's Supper was at 7 p.m., and that would require him to be off the air at 6:30, which is his normal start time. So Terry is now not going to be a show, and John is not here for me to ask whether he will be in a position to upload a previous show or not. So that's something that will be determined, I guess, at showtime. Hang on, I've got to send the text message. Friday morning, Ken, at 7 o'clock Eastern, is going to do a show on Easter and the resurrection and the Shroud of Turin, which is absolute proof that the Shroud of Turin, that Jesus rose from the dead, because the Shroud of Turin matches too much with Jesus, including being the universal recipient blood type of AB positive, which only 4% of the people in the world have. And the Shroud of Turin measures from a man who was 5'11", which was rather tall back in the day, and Judas was known to be rather tall. On Saturday, Williams got two shows. Burnt Toast and Coffee. And that's going to be a live show because he doesn't have an interview scheduled. And that's at 10 a.m. on Saturday. And then at noon, it will be a pre-recorded show because he's got an interview scheduled and he won't tell me who the interview is. On Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, John is doing the debate with Aletheia Network or Aletheia.org. I think the gentleman's name is John O'Brien. And I'm going to listen to that on delay because I will be at Veneration of the Cross and I will be singing with the choir for that mass. Or it's actually not a mass, it's a service, but there's communion. And then, of course, Veneration of the Cross, where you kiss the foot of the cross. And that's going to be a beautiful service. And, of course, I'll be with you tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern. And we'll be talking about Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday and why it's so important to Catholics. And then on Friday, of course, I'll be with you at 3:30 Eastern. And we're going to meditate on the seven last words of Christ. And that's going to be pretty special, I think. And then finally, on Holy Saturday, I will talk about a saint. And then Sunday is going to be all about the resurrection of Jesus. And we'll read some from the gospel. And we'll read some from some other sources. And we're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Now, starting on Good Friday at 3:30 Eastern, the first person to call in each day is going to win a prayer card with the story of the miraculous medal and a miraculous medal enclosed in the plastic wrapping. And if you want to take the wrapping off the prayer card, you can, and you can put the miraculous medal in your wallet or in your rosary pouch or someplace that you take everywhere you go, which is very, very, very important to have a miraculous medal with you at all times. And these have already been blessed. And the number to call in is going to be area code 515-602-9655. That's area code 515-602-9655. And I really, 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 really want people to call in. It cannot be the same household more than once. One winner per address, but if you need additional pictures or additional prayer cards, when you email me on Facebook with your address, tell me that you need additional prayer cards, and I will be happy to send you a reasonable number of prayer cards. I'm not going to send you 20 prayer cards or 200 prayer cards so you can give them to everybody in your RCIA class. But I'll give you a reasonable amount and I can get more. That's easy peasy. I've probably got at least 20 on hand and I can get you more. So that's not a problem. Just let me know how many you need. And then we'll go from there, friends. And we've only got about 5 minutes left. So I'm going to tell you that I picked up my package yesterday at the post office from the Rock Company shop. And I got the Olivewood image of the Last Supper that I'm going to take over to Father Joe's Chaco in a little bit. He's my pastor, and I'm going to get him to bless it before I go to our Wednesday night gathering with our OCIA group. And I also got the resurrection set that's kind of like a nativity scene, but different. And both pieces are absolutely amazing. They're beautiful. They are amazing. They are perfect. And they also included a cross for me. And I'm going to get that cross blessed, and I'm going to put it over a window somewhere in my house. My plan is to have a cross over all of my doors and windows, at least a cross, if not a crucifix, because I definitely want to keep the enemy out of this house. I want to keep him out. Can I say that loudly enough? I want to keep the enemy out. I'm not interested in the enemy being anywhere near my house. So in the remaining couple of minutes that we've got, I am going to play a song if I can find one that's short enough. You know what? I'm going to play Run to the Sun, and then we'll close out. So this is by Lisa Marie Nicole. It's called Run to the Sun. Lisa, I love you, sweetheart. Okay, friends, I turned the sound down just a little bit because I'm going to say goodbye. And when time's up, I'm just going to end the show. I want you to have a blessed rest of your Wednesday and a blessed Holy Thursday until I see you at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. And I expect you to be here on the same bat time, same bat channel. And until then, I want you to be blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Run when you're lonely. Run when you're down. Run when...